Portacular episode 126, video overload for the week of August 27th, 2007.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JBB.
I am Quality Jabbert.
And I'm that guy named Crimson Viper.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, you guys have done quite a bit in the Podtacular community, and
sit there, and apparently it's considered doing something. So.
Well, Jevridge used to do the weekly porridge, and you also recently did a great review on BioShock and the review frenzy.
What's BioShock? So, I've never heard of this stupid game. Must be bad. I've heard of it.
Well, Fumo Jab has been hooked on that one, so.
I have, man. I've been playing that like crazy. It's a great game, definitely. So, mm-hmm. Jevridge, you're doing the Review Frenzy now, and you were previously doing the Weekly Porridge, and you may, who knows, may pick that up again. So, you're also kind of.
Maybe not.
Perhaps, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe not. No.
I've been pleading him.
It's a mystery.
So now you're a moderator on the forums, and you're also a half operator on the IRC. Can you tell us a little bit about the IRC for those of us that don't know? What does IRC stand for? What is it? What do you guys do there?
Mm-hmm. Well, IRC stands for Internet Relay Chat, and it's basically the podcast in the chat room where everybody can come, and you can just talk to everybody who's a member of Podtacular. I know Fumo has been in there a little bit recently, but you know, we get Painkiller 5. And a lot of the other regular members. Me, Crimson Viper, and Jay Burton are the half-ops. We are your gods.
Well, we're the regular ones. I mean, Dr. Tom and Captain Crunk also are.
Yes, they're there too. You know, you just come in, you talk to people, you have a good time. We try to keep it peaceful, although that's kind of difficult sometimes.
I'm sure. On average, what kind of numbers are you guys looking at? How many people do you get at one
time? It's really shot up recently. We're getting about 30 a day now, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just in the past few weeks, it's really had a good spike.
Yep, and that's because Halo 3 is coming around.
I would think so.
So, Viper, you are a new half-op over at the IRC. How long have you been affiliated with Podtacular, and how'd you get involved?
Well, long story short, I was listening to Podtacular for like 2 years so far. I joined up to like 360 Talk or something. Yeah. Then I made my own. Then I joined up here, and then I realized how bad mine was, and I joined up to here. And here I am.
Cool.
Pretty much.
Before we start, I just want to say, I want to remind everybody that Halo Uprising, the comic book, is out. I got my edition. It is really good. Yeah, so for those who kind of forgot, make sure you go pick yours up.
Cool. All right, well, this show, we're going to be talking about Video Overload, some of the latest videos that have been coming out related to Halo 3 and related to other Bungie projects that are going on, such as the Halo Arms Race, the Halo Wars game that's going to be coming out soon. Yeah, definitely. It's a big improvement. So, you know, those kind of things have been coming out in the community and YouTube, things like that. They've been all over the place. Lots of videos. Lots of stuff to check out. That's been in the front of podtacular.com. And people send in comments about what they think about these videos. And we're going to kind of read those off and get into them.
And I want to give Laird an early shout out because I couldn't go due to conflicts and flights and everything. And Laird at the last second volunteered to represent Podtacular, and he did a great job from what I heard. And he got himself a Halo 3 Zoom for his troubles. Not from us, of course, but...
That's cool.
So, Laird, you know, thanks a lot for covering us, and can't wait to have you on to talk about your experiences.
Yeah, big thank you to Laird. He's definitely more part of the team now than ever after all that great work he did over there. And we certainly appreciate it, man. We're going to be definitely...
You complete me.
Thank you, Laird. We're definitely going to be featuring more and more of that on the podcast, so you guys will be able to check that out if you have a video iPod or through iTunes on your computer. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Alrighty, so let's get this party starting. I'll go first. Our first comment is by Killazilla, and he goes, "Wow, a lot of video surfaced in so little time. That's the truth. He goes, the Forge video is great. It shows so much what you can do. We learned that the monitors can be killed, that you can pick up and drag things, not just by making them appear, disappear. He also says, my favorite part of the video was where he showed that the monitor can become a bomber by dropping fusion cores from above onto unsuspecting enemies, and it counts as kills. He also talks about Guardian looking amazing. Not only is it bigger and better than Lockout, it has more weapons. Gone is sword whoring. I hate sword whoring. As the map also the map also contains a brute hammer, a flamethrower, and a bunch of maulers. That's the little brute shotgun that concerns him. He says the setting was total camo for active camo, and the player was almost totally invisible. Not only that, but the sword was invisible. Go Ninja Go. He goes, he loves new action short. Not only does it have real action, but there are full CGI brutes, and they look awesome. So do the Banshees and the Spikers. He said he saw one stuck against the wall. The only thing I didn't like was the old DSTs had Spartan helmets. Well, they look similar to Spartan helmets.
I don't know. If you look in one of the Delta Halo levels on Halo 2, they have that kind of helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do, actually. Hmm. And he goes, only a few more weeks until we're all bathed, whatever the hell, in the glorious wonder that is Halo 3. You see, I don't take a bath often, so even say the word bathe hurts.
I think
baited. Baited. I'm taking a bait.
I'm taking a bait.
Hey, Brady. Come on. What are you doing walking in at me? I'm taking a bait over here.
I'm bathing here. Thank you, Killazilla. Well, I had posted a video, and I purposely put it on my blog because I didn't want to put it on the front page in case nobody wanted to see any spoilers that might have been in the video. And it was the Forge tutorial. And, you kind of, from my point of view, if I was playing against you and you became a monitor, you would look like, you know, what was his name? The little guy that kept singing in
Guilty
in
Spark
Halo.
343.
Yeah, Guilty Sparks. Yeah, the little floating ball. And, yeah, you can die. You can, nice harmonic music. And what he was showing us was how, you know, he can, on the fly, he was saying if you wanted to put a Wraith inside High Ground, and he said on the fly you can do these things, but you also had a budget, and you couldn't, you know, I mean, it's up to the player to spend his budget on one map, or, you know, be wise with the money, but you do have a budget, so you can't just keep throwing fusing cores everywhere, so that part was pretty cool, but it was a limit as to what you can do.
Yeah, the way the budget works is kind of interesting. How it goes by dollars. It's basically dollars are equivalent so that they can limit the amount of geometry that you put on the board that can potentially be moved in order to prevent any kind of slowdown and prevent any kind of lag in the game so that people think, oh, this game is crap. It kind of falls apart when you have more stuff in the game. So they limited it just for that purpose. So, like, you can't put, you know, 15 scorpions on High Ground and stuff like that.
I know. That would kind of be ridiculous.
Why can they do it in pounds?
Well, maybe, you know. You never know the European.
You have 150 quid to work with here.
You'll have to sit there and play with a calculator.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I got to work the exchange rate as of today.
But no, it was a good thing to see that there was a limit as to what you can do, and that's going to definitely keep a nice balance with Forge.
Yeah, keep people from going too crazy. Another thing that's cool about that, I thought, was that you can actually delete things to add to your budget. So, for instance, you can go around deleting every single barrel in the game and then adding all those barrels and more into, you know, a big line or make a big Jenga game or whatever you want to do. You know, or just build a fort or something ridiculous. So, yeah.
No, that's gonna be nice, especially when you're vulnerable when you're as a monitor and you're floating in the air trying to do all these things. Then you know somebody's. I mean, you can set somebody to scout if there is a monitor, and that's his job to kill the monitor. It's gonna be nice.
Yeah, you can do walls in Forge, and I'm just hoping it doesn't cost that much. And one other thing, in Splinter Cell, the last one, Double Agent, you could set up these cams as a mercenary. Have you ever tried it? Yeah, well, if you're like the mercenaries going against like stealthy people, you can set up this cam. Yeah, you could probably like use a monitor for tactical warfare, like just like scout opponents and stuff.
So you're talking about setting up a camera, and then when the camera detects something, kind of like Bioshock, it sends these monitors after people to attack them?
I mean, like, putting, like, a camera, like, a monitor. Like,
yeah, like kind of using the monitor to spot where your enemy is coming from.
Oh.
Yeah,
what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Like a scout.
Okay.
Yeah, and, like, Frontline's Field of War is supposed to use stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's different ways to use it. Like, damn, you monitor a scout.
So the monitor's just kind of like flying around and not using any of the monitor tools, but just kind of saying, hey guys, they're over here.
Mm-hmm. That would be pretty cool. And then on the fly, you can also get back into the game. So I wonder if, like, let's say there's a group of three guys and they passed you, they don't see you in the air, floating in the air, and you can instantly go back into the game. Would you, like, pop up right behind them and...
You can, like, throw grenades for their direction and stuff like that, you know, just typical stuff. Like, you can have a monitor around the corner.
Yeah, but they must be very easy to destroy, because if you're going to have that type of advantage where you're actually hovering above them and you're still able to you know, throw weapons at them, they must be really weak, where maybe a battle rifle... Because they did say a battle rifle will pretty much destroy you.
Yeah, they did, but I think they were talking about basically a couple of battle rifle shots in the sense that it would take four battle rifle shots to the head to kill you. I think they were exaggerating a little bit. They weren't talking about the monitor in that case. They were talking about the monitor carrying a crate and a human sitting on top of it, a Master Chief, with a sniper rifle, and them carrying it around like a magic carpet.
Yeah, the magic carpet,
where they were going anywhere
on
the map, like a floating platform where they could shoot people with it. But they were basically saying that guy is still vulnerable. You know, a couple of things that I noticed where they were kind of manipulating objects on the map. First of all, I noticed that it was really easy to create and delete objects. Obviously, deleting objects is just a button, and setting objects' properties, like, for instance, the spawn frequency of weapons, things like that as you set down, and the amount of ammo in them, things like that, is fairly easy to do. There's, I think, a property button or something like that when you're the monitor. But the tricky thing, you would think, is how to create objects. You have so many objects in Halo 3, so you want to be able to easily find them. And at least the guy in the game, he found them really easily. Like, within a second or two, at most,
course,
he found
pretty
much everything he was looking for. And he placed weapons, he placed, I think, barrels.
And he placed a weapon, a sub-menu popped up, giving you the option to set the respawn time, I believe, the ammo, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
I saw a screenshot of it earlier, and you press like LB and RB, and you can just change like vehicles and weapons, I think.
Nice. And the previous two Halos, you pretty much discover what kind of player you are. You know, some can be good long-range weapons, some are just strictly, you know, grenade masters. This will open up a new door for players who are just really good at being creative. We've all wanted a map editor in Halo 1 and 2. Now there are going to be people who will be creative enough where they might just say, look, I'll be the monitor, you guys do all the grunt work, and I'll take care of the map for you. And they're going to be a player just specifically, you know, whose specific talents are aimed at Forge. And not just one player, they could be like tournaments maybe, you know, aimed around Forge.
Yeah, they were actually talking about that. Did you see that quality coverage where they were talking about how you, like, one person would spawn a tank and the other person would spawn rocket launchers and then the other would counter that and things like that?
That's actually one of the most promising things about Forge. I like, because I'm into real time strategy games. I think that could open up a real... You have one player assigned to a monitor on each team, and that monitor is responsible for getting supplies to his team.
Remember, you know, Bungie made Myst, which was a real strategy game. So they're familiar with that type of gameplay. So they're adding two different genres together. And, I mean, it looks very promising. I can't wait. Really can't wait.
Well, he did a shout out to Review Frenzy and for their dedication, especially to Captain Crunk, because he's helped Godzilla and the rest of the crew out.
Yep.
Definitely. Yeah, those guys have been doing a lot of work lately on podtacker.com.
Yep. Definitely.
Speaking of which, I know Crunk made some really cool changes to it.
Yeah.
Today. So it looks really cool now.
Yep, it looks nice. I mean, little subtle touches, but it definitely helps navigate a little better.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one, somebody go in the, some guy named Crimson Viper, I don't know.
He sounds like a real ass. I was playing with the value, it's terrible.
So why don't you say what you wrote in?
Yeah, quality, I've read to read, say what you wrote in. Wow, all this stuff is awesome. I wish I could discuss it with you guys on the show.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Crimson Viper was on the show.
Yeah. He's going to have to pay me a lot of money.
Forge looks amazing. As I mentioned earlier, with the added ability to make walls, I can make some pretty cool stuff like mazes and all that. Maybe not Hogwarts that I wanted when I was reading this Harry Potter book, but... You know, as I just said, labyrinths, mazes, they don't look too far-fetched. Guardian looks like a lot more open lockout. From the videos, I would assume that's the original weapon set, which is pretty beastly. I mean, a few Aura Cannon, Spartan Laser, Flare, Gravity Hammer, it can make some amazing games. Sand Trap is probably, like, the biggest map I've ever seen, period. I mean, did you guys see the Hornets? I mean, when I saw that, it reminded me of Battlefield 2, because, like, it was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was big. Tell us what you thought, Crimson Viper, of like, the weapons on the Hornet, and, like, the maneuverability and such, and how you think it relates to the Banshee.
Now we got the laser and stuff, it should be a lot more balanced. Because it can't do turns like the Banshee, it doesn't have boosts, but it does have more accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
From how it looks.
No, when I saw that video, I mean, the lighting and the visuals on that was like, holy crap. I mean, it looked like a cutscene almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the missiles, even though it has dual missiles, it's kind of slow. And I don't see it outmaneuvering the Banshee, but you can have more than one person on it.
Yeah. You can, like, stand on top of it if you like, because it's got a flat roof.
Yeah.
Imagine getting, like, a triple tackler from, like, lasering people on top of that.
Yeah, that would be sweet, because you can hover. So you can just hover right over an area and just, you know, defend the flag or something.
Yeah, and you can take out any scorpions or warthogs or things that are driving relatively slow and that can't boost.
Exactly, so that's going to be nice. That's going to be a nice weapon to have. But, you know, the Banshee is very agile, so it's going to be a hard aerial battle from, you know, a Hornet against a Banshee. I mean, the firepower is there. From the way he was flying it, it didn't look like it was that agile, so we'll see.
He was using a safe film, so the camera angle was askew.
Yeah, that's what took me off a little bit. I didn't realize it was just safe film for a minute or two, because it's so big. I want to see how they get the camera around it.
Get to the camera.
Say, Jervish, can you tell us a little bit about, like, what weapons were available on the Hornet, and what it is in general, for people that don't know about the Hornet at all, and how it kind of compares to the other vehicles in the map?
Well, for people who don't know about the Hornet, I'm pretty much right there with them. I don't know a lot about it. I only saw that one video.
Yeah,
some very short footage of it. So yeah, it looks like it's sort of a larger human equivalent to a Banshee, but it's less maneuverable. It seems to be able to carry more than one player.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it would be sort of a kind of between a Banshee and a Pelican, I guess.
It's kind of like a tiny Pelican where it has large wings, and underneath each wing you have the blades where it gives you the ability to hover.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, like we said previously, two people can stand, one person can stand on each wing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why they didn't want to have the Pelican in there, because with a Pelican in there, you're armored three, you know, from, well, if you count it like a cube, kind of five sides, to where the only end that's open is the back end. And they'd have to, if you were at the back of the Pelican, you'd be hard to get at an angle. So because of that, it would be, if you, like, came in with the whole crew in the Pelican, it would be really hard to destroy the Pelican, and it wouldn't make sense if it was just so easily destructible. So
with a rocket launcher or something.
Right. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense that they would have an alternative that was less maneuverable than a Banshee, but carried a couple of people so that you could assault a base with three people if you cruised in there and were able to get in without being destroyed. But then you had a little bit of firepower, too, so that you could make up for the lack of maneuverability. But the people that you were carrying were not so protected. They were wide open to where they can be wiped out, which makes perfect sense as far as balance, you know.
I wonder what kind of damage it can take, because we've experienced this from Halo 2. We've gone through the annoyance of having the Banshee in the session just dominate the whole map, because nobody can destroy it unless you had the rockets. You know, the Banshee in Halo 3 also has a new weapon added to it. It's a fuel rod cannon, right, pretty much? Like a plasma missiles?
Yeah, they had it in single player in Halo 2, but they took it off the Banshee for multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's going to be back for Halo 2.
Yeah, it was in the beta. But you can strictly aim towards enemies in the ground. It wasn't where you can actually aim at another flying vehicle, so...
Right, you couldn't aim straight down. Rico117 says... I recently got done watching a gameplay video of Guardian for PAX, and I have to say, those guys suck. Seriously, I love the map layout. It seems bigger than Lockout does, but it does a better job of concealing the inhabitants, in my opinion. At first, though, wow, that map has way too many power weapons. What I heard Bungie used for was to purposely set up the map that way. I look forward to Pony News on this great-looking map.
Smashing job.
Right, you good
little chap. So yeah, I mean, I understand what he's talking about with that video where the players they were showing, you can obviously see that they weren't experienced Halo players.
Yeah, there were a few times where it was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like, throw a grenade. Throw a damn grenade!
Get off the vehicle!
Yeah, that was funny. You hear people in the audience, get off the vehicle!
That was when they were on Narrows, and...
Yeah, Narrows, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one on the bridge, kind of like Halo 1, and there's that big bridge, that Forerunner bridge that goes across this valley, and there's this area on the side of the bridge that's a man cannon. There's a man cannon on either side that goes towards each other, so like if you launch with one person on either side at the same time, you'll smash into each other. And both of you will die, which is kind of interesting. But they actually have mongooses, I guess, on either side.
Mongooses.
Yep.
Yeah, right next to the man cannons.
He actually went right through with the man cannon and landed on the other side, which was pretty impressive. But then once he got there, he didn't know what to do.
Yeah, everybody was like, get off the vehicle, you're going to get shot with a Spartan laser or something. And he was like,
That must have been exciting, though. I mean, having all those people there just cheering you on, because that was a surprise. They had that competition going on, and the very last minute, they said the final game will be Halo 3, and you can tell these guys were like, oh, okay, this is a first-person shooter. Cool. You know, so, I mean...
Wait. They're all, like, Counter-Strike players. It's like, how come this sword doesn't make you go faster?
This is blasphemy.
What an amazing sword kill.
But yeah, I mean, just looking at that, it wasn't an official video. It was somebody taking a video with their own personal equipment, and it still looked pretty nice. I mean,
yeah.
I was like, wow, I cannot wait to play that map, because they obviously met up in the same spot on purpose, you know, for action purposes. But yeah, it was nice. They had the fuel rod there and everything. That was cool.
Yeah, so there's some more stuff that he mentioned. Actually, one of them was the flamethrower, that someone came up with a flamethrower and totally, just torched this guy and kind of tore him up. So now we got to see that from kind of another player's view, because he was torched by the other player. So it wasn't from a first-person view, but still, how powerful was this weapon, you guys?
I got to see it from the other person's perspective, because there were two cameras running. It's really powerful.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It looked, though, that it took a little bit of time for him to actually get it going. I mean, are you talking about the situation where he turned the corner and got fried, right?
Well, actually, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because I believe there was two where... one was the fire grenade, right? The napalm, where he got stuck with it.
Yeah, that was a different thing entirely.
That was when he was going up one of the ramps, and they met up in a small room, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, now, yeah. Because I didn't see the flamethrower, because what I'm talking about, he died pretty instantly, and it was still some flames going on, but he didn't die.
Yeah. So that was another thing too, is that the guy got stuck by a flame grenade which we didn't know you could do. But yeah, he got stuck by that, and just he started burning like crazy, and he just blew up. Freaking great!
Yeah, that's going to be one of those embarrassing stickies.
I'm hoping there'll be a medal for the flamers out there.
Flamers. Flamer medal.
But yeah, I mean, it's more weapons that to our exposure, and I mean, it looked pretty sweet the way he just dropped. I mean, it went off and he dropped. He was just burning there.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing too, is that it leaves a kind of a leftover of flames that people can't necessarily walk through without getting injured.
Yes, yes. And they did say it was, you know, napalm where it would spread. So I'm wondering, if you throw it down, would it kind of create a barrier between you and someone else for a few seconds? I mean, what exactly happened? Because apparently I missed this one.
It was over really quickly.
Yeah.
The flamethrower, like Jevard said, it was over really quick. You know, the guy came in from around a corner. It seems like that is extremely powerful at close range, and it leaves a residue that becomes a damage wall. So don't mess with that at close range. But at the same time, it's certainly not... It can't get very far at long range, right, Jevard?
Right. I mean, you don't really get a good chance to see how far it goes, but... He was maybe a few feet away from it. He was down in a second or two, so it's definitely not something you want to go up again.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it has a limit as to how many times you can use it in one shot.
I bet it has, like, written on the side, use with caution.
Yep.
Do you really need to write that in a flamethrower?
Like, flamethrower.
Good point. Good point.
Do not use on toast.
it's like with the laser written on the side. It's like, do not give to Crimson of Viper.
Do not use it to shave.
That's something I would pay to see.
Knowing you, Jeff Bridget, would.
Gillette, the best a man can get.
Gillette.
The best a man can get.
The best.
All right.
Although, knowing Gillette, it would be like the Jeanette Alpha Power Laser Mach 4.
By Menon. So,
yeah.
So it's all unanimous. We cannot wait to play with the flamethrower.
Definitely. On Guardian in general, Jevridge, can you tell us a little bit about that turret that was removable on Guardian?
Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it seemed to function just like the chain gun did in the beta.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah, but it was sort of a Covenant.
Valhalla.
I think it's really similar to the plasma turrets that were in Halo 2, the stationary ones. Mm-hmm. It had a pretty good rate of fire, though. It fired a little bit faster.
Yeah.
And that was one of the only times that the player actually got a kill. So I'm assuming it's pretty good.
You needed a turret to kill somebody.
Yeah. So that was pretty powerful.
But once again, they used Forge to create those maps. I get not the maps themselves, but the layout.
Right.
So I'm assuming some of those weapons we won't see by default in these maps in multiplayer.
Right. At least not at first, right. You know, if somebody creates a map edit that everybody enjoys that is good for competitive play, then they'll put it into matchmaking, which I'm sure we'll see more of as time goes on. You know, no matter what edits they are, there's definitely going to be some kind of edits in matchmaking, which would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. And they did say on Forge that when they see maps that are really good, they're going to include them in a custom match type playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Over Xbox Live.
Definitely so cool.
You know, get your Forge on.
Get your Forge on.
I'm still wondering how regularly they're going to do that, because I remember they had that community playlist in Halo 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And that didn't last all that long, so I'm just I'm wondering how committed they are to keeping Forge and matchmaking.
Yeah, I hope they really pay that some good attention, because I know a lot of people are going to create maps that a lot of people are going to like, and I hope they don't just kind of get tied down in the typical Microsoft red tape that goes on as far as, like, if you compare it to, for instance, Xbox Live Arcade games, where they, you know, you hear about them forever and ever, and it's like, would you just release the game already? How many people need to sign off on this friggin' game, you know?
Yeah, really.
Now, do it. Man.
Release it.
Willie SF, he says, when watching the demo of Halo Wars today, I heard the narrator talk about making your own buildings. I'm not sure if he meant customizing them yourself or building them like any other RTS. I'm assuming so.
Just did a segue here.
Mm-hmm.
He said he heard the narrator talk. I don't know the narrator because it's a sheep.
He also says, like any other RTS, Halo Wars has to be balanced as they showed in the demo, which they are doing a great job at. Is there a possibility that they might be brutes in Halo Wars?
I wouldn't think so.
Because yeah, not necessarily.
It takes place before Halo 1.
Yeah.
I don't think the brutes were part of the Covenant at that point.
In the demo, that was the first time the USNC saw the Scarab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's good they're going to have something of some sort of a prequel to the whole story arc to Halo and Master Chief. In the Forge tutorial, he talks a little bit about Forge and taking cover behind platforms for players on the map, which, of course, is going to be good. I believe the guy who was showing the Forge tutorial, if you want to call it, he said, you know, you could bring a box and just throw it in front of one of your teammates to give him cover. Maybe even the guy arming the bomb. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways to help out your team. And he says, they explain the video, user-generated maps such as custom games, that Bungie would put them into matchmaking, which is what we were talking about a little bit earlier. Yeah, thank you, Willie SF.
Definitely.
But yeah, Halo Wars, we haven't even gotten into that one yet.
Let's do a quick your general impressions, and then we'll move on to the next one for everyone here. What did you guys think of Halo Wars?
Well, it looked good. I mean, it's still early into development, but I'm kind of biased because it is based on the Halo franchise. So of course I'm gonna buy it. I mean, I used to be into RTSs, and to the average person, it's gonna look pretty typical. Like a typical RTS game. They showed 15 minutes worth of gameplay.
Yeah.
And, you know, graphically it looked nice. The sound, which I was pretty impressed, they kept the original sounds from the battle rifles and the assault rifles that we're used to hearing in the first Halo all the way through Halo 3. So it looks like they're going to keep the same atmosphere, but obviously it's sort of a prequel. The beginning of Halo and that whole story arc with Master Chief.
Yeah. How about you, Paul Jones?
It's from Ensemble Studios, and they did the Age of Empires games. I'm sure it's going to be a good game. Mm-hmm. But apart from it being Halo, I just haven't seen it do anything that really sets it apart from other RTSs.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait. Jeff. What other RTS game could you make your infantry do press-ups?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a cool little aesthetic, but I mean, I haven't seen it do anything that really makes the gameplay
stand out from any other RTS.
It just looks like a standard RTS right now with a Halo coat of paint on it.
Hmm.
So I'm holding it on it.
For now, yeah.
You know, so far, I gotta say, though, I mean, comparing it to Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-earth 2, comparing it to Command & Conquer 3, kind of the suspension of disbelief is much greater in Halo Wars. As far as, like, just the way the sound is, the way they respond to things, the way the models are, it just makes it a lot more realistic. And, you know, that's saying a lot because ultimately it's not particularly realistic. But just the games in the past have been so over the top and so ridiculous, especially Command & Conquer 3. It's like, that's a fun game and it's interesting and they got an excellent control scheme. But the way especially the voiceover and the acting is just disgusting. It's so horribly done.
In defense of Command & Conquer, the classic Command & Conquer ones, they were known for having horrible cinematics.
Yeah, yeah.
So they kind of did that deliberately, just as crappy cinematics are the trademark now.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
It's so bad you lost it.
But how bad is that a game that it's known for being crappy?
No, it's known for having cheesy cinematics, but I mean, the gameplay is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, I want the whole package, you know. I don't want, like, it's kind of like it's known for having really horrible cover art. So I buy it because that's part of the whole experience. That doesn't make any sense, you know. It's like, if you're going to make it, why not just make it good instead of making it bad?
Mm. Yeah, I guess it's, you know, all depending on taste.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I know some people still get into it. And I guess it's some people's, like, tolerance of the campiness and how they can handle it. You know, some people can handle different TV shows than I can, too. So it's different. But the reason I say all that is that I think Halo Wars goes a pretty long ways to kind of go well beyond that, to where all the different, like, for instance, when you select characters, they say believable things. They say things that keep you in the game, and they don't say, like, sounds fun. Or something ridiculous like that that a soldier would say, you know, come on. Yeah, like, go attack this thing and, like, snipe this and drop some bombs. Sounds fun. Oh, shut up.
I'm ready to kick ass.
Sounds like.
Yeah, we're going to kick their ass.
I'm
all
out of bubble gum.
Duke Nukem in the house? Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, they're definitely getting closer to the PC, I think, which is where the console RTSs are at right now.
Yeah.
Well, Halo Wars is actually not going to come on the PC.
No, I know. I'm just saying because RTS is on the Xbox 360 and stuff right now. Are still in a period where they're trying to catch up to the PC
because
it's had RTS for a long time.
The controls.
It's the first time that console has really been capable of doing it.
Yeah, yeah, and always the main obstacle has always been the controller.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and the control schemes and trying to keep it somewhat easily accessible to the player on console. I mean, they would eliminate all that if they brought out an official keyboard where you can actually play RTSs with the keyboard and mouse. So it's always a solution to a problem.
So what'd you think of the control scheme, Crimson Viper?
Just using the A button is much easier than using the trigger. You get me? Because, you know, you can just map all movements to the A button and it's much more accessible. I'm just hoping they can get it right. You know, just to match up to the PC counterparts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing that I noticed on the control scheme, for instance, is that when you selected the Warthog factory, it filled up like a menu on the entire screen that was a blue overlay that let you select what kind of vehicle you want to select. And I can see that kind of permeating throughout the whole game to where things are a lot more obvious when you're making a selection, when you're going within the menus, and it makes it clear that you have to make a selection now. So I think that's going to be really cool, is that what you're doing at the moment is what you're doing at the moment, and you don't have, like, a bazillion things going on all at once where you have to, like, choose what you're paying attention to. So I think that's going to be an improvement, just that one little thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. How do you think it's going to sell? Do you think it's going to get a large audience right away simply due to Halo? Do you think people are still going to have their opinions on RTSs on the console and kind of stray away from it?
I think people are, it's definitely to boost sales just by having the Halo name there. But I think a lot of the more hardcore Halo fans, which is to say the 12-year-olds, are just going to feel really turned off that this game isn't the point-and-click Halo they like. They're going to be like, well, you know, what is this thing it's asking you to think? I want to shoot them.
Right.
I mean, you know, it sounds mean, but I think that's exactly the way people are going to react to it.
Well, I mean, with all the new features in Halo 3, they're going to have to think a lot more now. I mean, that's for sure.
What's this X button?
Exactly.
Jurassic DL3 says, I've looked at all the videos, and here is what I got to say. The gravity hammer is sick, since it can badly hurt you in one swing. The firebomb is also cool, since if you walk into it, it hurts you. The flamethrower could kill you after a few seconds, I think, and your body is on fire for about a second after you die. The flare is so cool, since anyone in the area is blinded for a short time, so you better turn around so you won't see white. I think the Hornet will do nicely in multiplayer, since it will even out with the Banshee. The Halo short film looks sick, since there's three Marines getting a package, killing some brutes.
Well, too well.
And driving a hog, which would be sick to drive in real life.
Mm-hmm. So, we got, first of all, the gravity hammer. JVB, can you tell us about what you saw with the gravity hammer and how powerful it is?
Well, once you hit it against the ground, it made this small little shockwave, and it was just, you know, doing major damage to the Hornet. I believe it even after a few hits, like totally annihilated it.
Yeah, it took like 2 hits.
Mm-hmm. So it's a definitely a powerful weapon. The only thing I didn't notice, and later on I'm going to go back and look, I want to see if there's a meter, maybe
there is.
Okay, good, because that's a powerful weapon, and I would hate it to be another sword. But yeah, that's a dangerous weapon.
It's gonna have that, they're trying to balance everything from like energy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So you won't be seeing me throwing the laser so much.
But you know, it's great that now you can see what someone's carrying, because obviously that thing is sticking out.
Yeah.
And you know, you see someone with the gravity hammer, you're not gonna go close range to them. Whereas with Halo 2, obviously, you couldn't see any weapons, so you didn't know if someone had the sword or not. You're going to have to use it, you know, wisely.
Now, someone told me that the gravity hammer versus the sword didn't work out too well. The sword was more agile and much better at close range. But the gravity hammer is more powerful against the ground to defend against grenades, and also against vehicles, and to send people flying in general, which the sword won't necessarily do, would just kill them. So, you know, those kind of things are the advantage of the gravity hammer, but a gravity hammer versus the sword, not going to pan out well.
Mm-hmm. They're not really going to balance each other out, you know. That's not the equivalent of the plasma sword. It's a totally different weapon aimed at close combat.
So let's talk about the new Halo short film that came out real quick. Jevridge, what did you think of that, man?
I thought it was really cool. I was kind of disappointed about the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it showed some cool concepts, but there was no real action. This one, you finally get to see some visions of how they would render actual vehicles. Like, you see the Banshee in there, however brief you do.
They were brutes. They were brutes
as well, yeah.
I couldn't tell. Anyway, but yeah, you see, I was really impressed because, you know, when you think about how they might bring a video game into real life, you sort of imagine it being really cheesy looking and not too well done. But they hit the right mood with it, I think.
Yeah, the quality was a lot better than the first one. Yeah. And the reason why I liked it so much this time was because you were watching it almost through someone else's perspective. And towards one part, you're actually seeing it from, I guess, the command center's monitor or something, because it looked distorted. And it almost looked as you were watching someone actually videotaping it. So it kind of gave it like that somewhat reality look to where, you know, it was, you know, like you said, borderline cheesy, but yet, you know, the quality was there. The action was really good.
And of course, seeing
the Warthog, you know, get transported down, and they were driving it, and you're seeing the guy, you know, struggle with keeping control. I mean, it was nice. I mean, it was very short, but it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that was kind of a Pillar of Autumn view, you know, from above, and kind of a satellite view of what's going on and of all the action. And it kind of had all these indicators that, as if there was kind of a HUD going on, you know, where the action was, how far away it was, a lot of different meters and numbers flying around and different stuff. But, you know, it felt a lot more realistic, definitely, than the first one. And the action was amazing. It was really great to see, like, kind of all the firefights. It really felt realistic. It was kind of cool seeing going against the brutes. You know, I look forward to more action on kind of a, maybe a little more scale, in the sense of just there was only very brief shots and encounters with the brutes. And the more they bring that in, the more it will feel realistic to where you know, it's like, wow, this is, you know, really happening, really fighting brutes instead of some computer-generated objects going on.
Right. Yeah. Well, it gives you an idea of what you can expect if the Halo movie ever comes out of it, finds its way out of limbo. It's just looking less and less likely, but, you know, you get kind of an idea of what we might have had if that ever went through.
Maybe that's part of the point.
But yeah, at least it's better than people standing still while they're being shot at by banshees. I mean, seriously, did you see that?
No.
From the E3 one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I enjoyed the line where the guy goes, I've been shot, and someone goes, suck it up.
Yeah, that was great. And it was like damage. It was all to his torso. His entire torso was red. It's like, oh, crap, man.
He had a hole in his freaking torso
or something. He's like, I've been shot. They're like, suck it up. You got a hole in you. Dang it.
Yeah, he kept that campy feel, you know, the campy
A little bit, but not like Command & Conquer 3 level kind of campy. That's just...
Oh, no, no.
Well, hey, let's wrap it up here. Send in your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. Hey, we depend on your submissions to keep the show going, so keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. That is 206-888-HALO. And leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly in the Customs and Call-In show.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of buzz about Halo 3 and a bunch of other stuff.
And speaking of other stuff, we forgot to mention that this weekend that just passed, Podtacular was amongst the very first podcast to be featured on the Xbox Live Marketplace. So, our Gamer Picks is up there, as well as Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Achievement Junkie, Sarcastic Gamer, Gamerscore Blog, and Video Game Show. So make sure, even if you're not a fan of the other podcasts, which you should be, download it just to show your support for the community so that this way other communities can get their logos up there as well.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all free and they look really cool. You should really check them out.
Absolutely. This is huge.
90% of my friends list has the Podtacular one right now.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
It's a blue line going on.
That's what we want. Thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working in the community or website, contributing to our PayPal to help out with hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us on iTunes. We couldn't do it without you guys.
Well, CryptoFlix is looking for some help for PodTV. He's looking for people who can record and edit and host. If you'd like to help out, email us at podtacular@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Achievement Junkies and Sarcastic Gamers recently joined the Gamercast Network. So now we got a total of 6 shows. So make sure you go over there and you check out Gamertag Radio, who did a lot of coverage on PAX. Yeah. Uncle Gamer, Gamercast Network's very own video game show, Achievement Junkies with Natalie and Nelson, almost combined the two names, and Doc Adams and crew in SarcasticGamer.com.
Natalie Son,
yeah, yeah. And also, before we wrap it up, I want to thank Oopy from BlueSkittle.com. They also came out with their latest episode yesterday for the magazine. She took it upon herself to help spread the word, the name of Podtacular. And her and Kiki Cat, they helped Laird get in. I also want to thank Kitty, because Kitty was the one who got Laird the press pass. And Kiki Cat was responsible for helping Laird do some of the video interviews. So big thanks to them for helping
they
us out.
Helped out so much. Master,
thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Much obliged. We'll be seeing those soon, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you want to check out the magazine, just go to wskittle.com.
Yeah, that's tight. Yeah.
And shout out to Old Mank Dude over at HBO. He's a really great guy. And he requested it earlier.
Cool.
Yeah,
those guys are pretty good over there, too.
Definitely. Oh, that's blueskittle.com if that didn't come through right. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I'm Quality Beverage.
And I'm Quality Beverage number 2. Bye, guys.
Nice.
He's some real good quality.
One
jokes.
Has a English accent, and one has a fake English accent occasionally.
Something I had to change that one.
There's only one thing left to say.
It's more of a mix of like Australia.
Aww.
Kind of fake accent that I made up.
It does sound kind of Australian. Whoa.
Timey kangaroo down, sport. Timey kangaroo down.
I'm
Remember that song, Fumo?
No.
Tommy Kangaroo, no.
Is that like a song that people that are in their 30s like should know or something? Tommy Kangaroo, down.
Well, when I worked in Busch Gardens, dude, I heard that song like 50 times a day, bro. Because I happened to work in the area where they sold plushy koalas.
Oh. Wow. I'm going to have to look for that song next time I'm there, man.
Yeah, Tommy Kangaroo down sport.
You're like, shut up with the Tommy Kangaroo! Yeah. I'll kill you, kangaroo!
That's why I cannot stand kangaroos to this very day. If I ever see a kangaroo in my face, I'm going to smack him. Anyway, now that I got that out of the way.
You feel better, huh?
I'm going to make a pair of cement boxing gloves for kangaroos.
Well, yes, and shout out to that, you know, the America, no, the animal rights for kangaroos.
I hate kangaroos. If I see a kangaroo, I'm going to kill him.
As a matter of fact, go to my website, ihatekangaroos.com. Make sure you register and post in the forums your true unadulterated hate for kangaroos.
Yeah. Watch the YouTube videos of kangaroos punching humans. And you'll be
Podtacular.com/kangaroosuck.
And actually, I'm going to clarify this before we end the show, that we really do not hate kangaroos.
For the legal staff out there.
Keep on fragging kangaroos, huh?
Keep on hugging koalas.
Keep on tying me kangaroos down. GamerCastNetwork.com